a lot of sports players are fans of it, and that's wild because I met Pau Gasol, and he was a fan of the movie. Kobe used to talk about Sandlot on TV. NBA players, MLB players, like all those guys, they're just young sports players growing up, so that's a sports movie, and they all watched it.
Well, I wanted to have you on Courtside Club.
Oh, thank you.
For one specific reason.
My crossover?
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
So maybe you could show us later.
I can. You play basketball.
I did, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I like to consider myself retired now.
Okay.
But I heard you're an only child.
I am.
So we can relate to something.
You're an only child?
Only children.
Oh my God, this is huge.
It's huge.
I'm an only child. It's, I don't know how I feel about it. You cannot marry an only child. You know that.
So
your kids will not have uncles and aunts. Isn't that so sad though, to think two only children, their kids won't have cousins, they won't have aunts and uncles, nothing.
Yeah, I guess I've never thought about it.
I thought a lot about
it. Like that. Yeah. Because there's two sides of the only child like life, right? There's people like myself who loved it. Like, I didn't want any siblings.
Wow.
I actually really loved it. And then there's the other side where they've always wanted a sibling and they resent their parents forever. You seem to have a great childhood from what I've heard in your interviews. And obviously we've all seen you since you were a kid.
Yeah, you had a little glimpse into my childhood. I'm definitely not bitter at my parents. I think I longed for siblings a little bit, but it also, it helps you make friends easier. You learn how to, you know, kind of formulate relationships and you know, be on your own. And I think I probably, because of that, had more friends in life than I would have if I had siblings. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have no friends because I'm so content with being by myself.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I guess you loved being an only child. Mm-hmm. I think I'm somewhere, I don't resent it, but I definitely didn't love it. I didn't, I didn't resent, but it wasn't something I was excited about for sure.
Well, you gained some non-blood brothers through a movie that is so iconic. 30 years later, The Sandlot. We have to talk about it.
Let's do it. And I did gain some non-blood brothers. Yeah.
How was that? I started in this industry at maybe 21. And it's hard to navigate in general. I couldn't imagine being 13 on a hit movie.
Yeah.
Although it seemed like, and pardon my interruption, it seemed like you guys were just kids having fun on set.
Yeah, we totally were. I think because we were teenagers, it was a little easier to navigate than it would have been if we were 8 or 9. It's funny because originally the movie was written for 8 and 9 year olds, and they actually cast a whole group of 8 and 9 year olds. And then I'm sure through rehearsals or things like that, they realized that these kids were too young to be saying some of the things we were saying, to be doing some of it. It just was like sacrilegious, so they recast it and put us in there. And because we were 13, it was the perfect age, you know. You know, 13 is a big age for guys. It's, you know, you go through puberty, you're, you know, just learning about life. You can, you know, have crushes on girls. 8 and 9, I think, is a little early for that sort of thing. So, but yeah, to answer your question, I guess it was interesting. My high school, my college was on movie sets. That was my life growing up. And, you know, it was interesting.
So I've heard you talk about it before. You were actually the last one who was cast in that film. Yeah. And I've also heard you say that that's one of the first things that you ever booked, which is also wild in Hollywood because normally it's like years and years, hundreds and hundreds of auditions before you land anything.
Yeah.
And even with that, the thing that you land is normally, you know, a whatever commercial that runs at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. I guess it was sort of meant to be, I guess, just sort of all the things that had to go right for me to land that role. It was, like I said, they recast. So then they had their whole new cast and there was someone in the role, they switched some of the roles a lot. Like, yeah, yeah, became Squints. Squints became yeah, yeah. And they were just sort of figuring it all out. There was someone hired for one of the roles, but he fell off. I don't remember why. So then the role of Ham was available again, right at the last minute. I got called in. I had one audition for it too. And this is a big,
it's only one.
I had one audition. And you have to think this is back in the day before COVID and, you know, you did everything in person. You had auditions, callbacks, screen tests, you know.
Right.
And it was so last minute that I had one audition for the director and the casting director. And they called me that night and said, okay, the director likes you. We're going to bring you out to the baseball field where everyone's, you know, we had a little baseball camp and you're going to meet the other guys. So you don't have the job, but if you get along and it makes sense, then you'll get the job. So I went out and met the other guys and we got along and the rest is history. So it was 48 hours. It was crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And you could have never imagined that it would become as iconic as it is.
No. And it's also there's been a progression for that as well. I think when the 20th anniversary hit, and then the 25th and then the 30th, like those milestones and the generation passing it on to the next generation, I think made it even more of a sort of classic and, you know, crazy move like that for people.
I realize as I get older, I hold on to nostalgia more. And I don't know if it's my age. I don't know if it's just because in the world right now, everything is so stressful.
Yeah.
So we hold on to the times that feel like that. Or maybe like my grandparents do that and it's the same thing. It's just about aging. But
there
is something that just feels so pure and just gives you a warm feeling about like going back. And to be fair, I went back and watched the film again before I sat down with you because I haven't seen it in years. But it just gives you that, I don't know, sense of of the time that the 90s were.
Yeah, and the 90s were, they were great. I mean, and obviously that takes place in the 60s. But I think with this, with technology and things that are happening and, you know, AI and all these terrifying subjects – yeah, I understand why. It's the same for me when I see the Goonies. It's amazing, you know. It's just people got out more. They didn't have iPads. They didn't have phones, you know. I don't know how we did it, but it's funny. We weren't reachable. We were on our bikes.
No.
We just came home.
When the streetlights came on. Yeah.
Okay, streetlights come on, you're home.
Right.
And then we still were late and we got yelled at and it didn't matter. Like, and I don't know. There's something about this current world that is terrifying.
Let's talk about baseball a little bit. Did you play before?
Yeah, I grew up playing all sports. Funny enough, my favorite sport to play is basketball. That's the one that I just was the best at it. I was great until I stopped growing at 15 and then that became a problem. But
it's tough.
It's tough.
Yeah.
I'm 5'8" on a really good day. Like,
well, I saw your TikTok recently.
Oh, so you saw
know?
That
one. Yeah.
So with my shoes,
with your
hair,
shoes and your hair, yeah.
But the problem is the hair doesn't translate into basketball at all. That doesn't matter.
True.
Yeah, I have a nice shot, you know, and that was the sport I liked. I definitely played baseball in Little League and stuff. I never played catcher. I played second base and outfield, depending on the league I was in. But I loved all sports and just. Was just kind of that, you know, a sporty guy kind of.
Did it ever get competitive on set? Were there times that you guys?
I mean, competitive for different reasons. There was definitely a few of us that played baseball and there were some that did not. So there was no competition between, you know, Mike Vitar played Benny, myself really were the only, I guess Brandon Adams, who pitched, he was halfway decent. Then there was a big drop off after us three. So there wasn't a lot of competition there. But I would say there's plenty of competition on other things that 13-year-old boys compete on, you know?
Like, well, I can only imagine, because I feel like even being a director of that film, it has to be, part of it is obviously trying to make movie magic, and then the other half is like babysitting.
Yes. And they were.
Yeah.
We were absolutely needing to be babysat. We got in so much trouble. I can't even tell you. We snuck into Basic Instinct. That's a rumor. That's absolutely true. We all snuck into the back of the movie on our off time. And, you know, we would like just go on the weekends, just raise hell everywhere. And I'm sure they heard about it. But they loved it too. Like we all were good at heart. There was no bad apples. And the parents were great. They were parents, and we definitely, I mean, I got into it with parents and like kids, and Shane Obazinski, who played the little brother, socked me in the face right on the first baseline. And he was so much smaller than me, I kind of laughed, but then I went and told his mom, I said, Shane just hit me in the face. And she looked at me and went, good, you probably deserved it. And she was right though. Okay. I fully did deserve it.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I mean, that was that they were all our like moms. Like
dance moms, but yeah. Sandlot moms.
Yeah. But it was like, we were all brothers and they all took care of us. So right. It was like the big brother getting punched by his little brother and her going, yeah, you deserved it. Knock it off. Get out there. You know? So it was fun. Yeah. We had a good time.
How many times a day or a week on average do people come up to you and say, you're killing me, Smalls?
I mean, you know, it happens a time or two. It definitely happens. I guess it depends where I am. You know, when I'm in big crowds and things like that, it happens a lot. I just went to the Players Championship. I was just there doing a little something with Travelers Insurance, but I got to walk the course, and it happened a lot there, you know, because there were a bunch of, I guess, baseball and golf fans are kind of the same, you know, family.
I could see it's that.
Very similar. Football fans are definitely their own deal, but it's cool. Most people are nice, you know. I 99% of people are nice, and they come up and go, oh my God, you have been in my living room for 30 years. You are part of our family, like you said, you know. So I don't see how that could really bother anyone. 1% can be rough, but you know, most of the time they're drinking and it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And half the time of that, I'm having a drink too. So I don't care, you know, like more times than not, it's been cool experiences.
What about the truffle shuffle?
Yeah. Not mine.
Can you? Yeah. But is that not something that also happens?
That people ask me to
do?
Funny enough,
Or is this just a TikTok skit that I'm getting into?
That was just, you're calling me out, but you're finding the truth. I really have not been asked to do the truffle
shuffle. You have? Okay.
No, but but you would think that I have, so I used it to make a TikTok.
I mean, it's smart.
Yeah.
You do great on TikTok.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I haven't not been asked, but it's not, people mostly know the difference between those two movies. I think they were a good enough time split. Because when was The Goonies? 88, 89, something like that. So, and Sandlot was 92.
Can I like say something insane? I'm not sure if I've ever seen The Goonies.
Oh, you have to watch The Goonies.
What is it about?
It is about the Walsh family, and I don't want to give any spoilers. And they are about to lose their house.
Okay.
And there's a group of young kids, and then they find a map to One-Eyed Willie's treasure.
Oh, fun. And it's a treasure hunt.
It's a treasure hunt movie. Josh Brolin's in it.
Okay.
Bunch of great actors. I mean, Sean Astin is the lead.
You're also talking to like a very sporty girl who.
Yeah, it's not sporty.
No. That's fine. I don't need to watch all whatever, but I'm not great with like actors' names. I'd be like, oh, I know this person from this movie, but
Sean Astin was in Rudy. Remember Rudy? Come on. Oh, my God. You got to see Rudy.
We've had a whole segment on the show where they were like listing off big movies that I haven't seen. And it is embarrassing.
It's okay. I have the same thing.
I saw Dune 2 last night.
So did I. So great. Right?
Great. Okay. Yeah. So give me a check.
None of
that.
Those guys are in there.
Okay.
Actually, yes. Josh Brolin is the older brother in The Goonies. Josh Brolin is, don't know his name.
Is in Dune 2?
He's in Dune 1 and 2. He's the high commander of his family. He's like the captain who.
Oh, the bald people, the like bald headed people.
No, not the Harkonnens or whatever.
The good ones.
The good ones. The Atreides, right? Yeah. So he
is who Timothy
Chalamet.
This one.
Love him.
Uh huh.
Super crush on that guy. He is the captain of it.
But not the one who dies. The
No, he lives. And then in Dune 2, he finds him halfway through. You remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's Josh Brolin. He's the older brother in Goonies.
Amazing. Yeah. I do know that guy. Yeah.
And Sean Astin, did you see Lord of the Rings? Any of those?
Ages ago, yes.
Okay, he played Samwise Gamgee.
Okay, cool.
Second guy to Elijah Wood.
Okay.
He was also in Stranger Things.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So anyway. Yeah. Okay. Go watch the Goonies. All
right.
Goonies.
So I would
Goonies
know these
people. Goonies is my Sandlot. That's why I'm very passionate about
it. Love that.
This is literally the movie that if I saw any of those guys, I would fanboy out and like say, you changed my life. You were in my living room for 30 years. I would have that moment if I met Sean Astin.
Has there, like, who has been the biggest celebrity or actor, whoever, who has come up to you and fangirled boyed over you? Yeah.
I mean, it's happened and it's really cool. Like, you know, a lot of sports players are fans of it. And that's wild because as a sports fan, watching these guys, they're larger than life to some degree, but they're all younger than me, most of them, which is crazy. But, you know, when I meet, like I met Pau Gasol and he was a fan of the movie.
Oh,
and
cool.
The guy's 7'2" and you're just like, oh my God, Pau. I mean, you know, Kobe used to talk about Sandlot on TV and never got to meet him, but that would have been,
oh,
like,
I love that.
Forget about it. So, you know, NBA players, MLB players, like all those guys, they're just young sports players growing up. So that's a sports movie and they all watched it. So that's cool. But, I don't know who the most famous person is that it's awkward, to be honest, when they come up to me because I'm like, ha, you're Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
He didn't, but it's a little weird because I'm having a hard time keeping it together. You know, I would say
you want to be like, no, but you too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But, you know, even at when I went to the Players Championship and met Justin Thomas and Ricky Fowler, and these guys are fans of the movie, but I'm like, I've been watching you guys, you know, play and win tournaments for, Ricky for a decade. I don't know about how long JT's been doing it, but a couple of years, you know?
I feel it's obviously a much smaller scale than the impact that you've had. But when I was the host of NBA 2K TV, I even just ran into a fan recently. And I haven't hosted there in almost 6 years now. I've been off of the game. And people come up to me and say, you were my childhood because they played the game when they were younger.
Yeah.
And I get it so often. And it's just like, it's cool, but you don't – I didn't realize that I was impacting people's lives by hosting a video game show and talking about basketball. And yours is – the film, obviously, is much bigger than what I did. But it is a nice – feeling to know that, you know, even if I'm not a part of their lives now or they're watching my things now, but like I had that moment too.
It is cool, right? I mean, that's why we do it, to entertain and to give joy, and then to hear that you did that, that's a cool thing. And you definitely did through that, and
smaller scale, but I relate to it a bit.
Kidding me? Video games are massive now.
They are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I think the coolest one was Shaq. There we go. That's the answer.
We love Shaq.
I did Shaqtacular when I was younger, and I all of a sudden I was like playing basketball, and then all of a sudden I heard this deep voice behind me and said, "What up, little man?" And then this hand palmed my head, and the fingers came down to here on me, and then I turned around and it was Shaq, and I looked up and then I shook his hand, and my hand was so small in his hand. That like I couldn't even get around like the sides of his hand. And he just, I mean, you always hear the Shaq stories. Like,
he's the best.
The best. And that, I think that was the coolest moment that I had.
That's cool. Yeah. I have to say, Shaq has never once in the many of times that we've worked together palmed my head.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a good thing.
Yeah. I think it's good. Yeah. He can palm my head.
Yeah.
Not yours.
You can hold on to that one.
Yeah.
So after Sandlot, you've obviously been in the entertainment industry now for 30 plus years. Mm-hmm. I did hear you say though, in one of your interviews, when you started getting a bit older, like your later teenage years, it was kind of hard to stay out of the trouble. Hollywood scene. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of touched on it earlier. Like I had this, my first agent was Judy Savage, and she's since passed now, but she's a legend. Any young actor was with Judy Savage. And I remember meeting with her when I came to town, and she signed me, and she said, you know, don't be surprised if you don't work for a few years or this or that. And, you know, Sandlot was pretty much my first job. And then I came back and auditioned for Son-in-Law and got it. And so I was on back to back big movies. I didn't have that sort of struggle experience until my late teens, early 20s, where, yeah, then you start auditioning, then you go to network on shows, and then you don't get cast, and that's a bummer. And, you know, your that sort of rejection kind of occurred then. And I'm now in the Hollywood scene, surrounded by Hollywood and all the negatives that come with that. Luckily, I had two very close friends that I'm still friends with to this day. We were the three-headed monster, and we all had very similar. We luckily didn't struggle with alcohol. Believe me, we drank some, but we didn't. It didn't affect us, you know, how it does some people.
And this is like high school age,
college? Yeah, like late 90s, early 2000s. And then I got married young. So, and I've been with my wife since almost 17 years now. Better get this right. Yeah, 17 years. So I sort of, I had about a decade there, but I, you know, had those two buddies, and I think we kept each other in line. Plus it was before social media. So like, I'm sure, you know, there'd be some embarrassing videos of me somewhere on Sunset, you know, a few too many.
Well, embarrassing maybe, but there are some of these kids who get so caught up.
They say the wrong thing. And
they say the wrong thing, or fall into the crowd with the wrong people, and, you know, fall into drugs, or, you know, or some that we're finding out now are actually getting abused. So maybe they were getting abused on set. They turned to something and they didn't have the help that's how they were coping with it. And it's really sad to see.
Because it happens. It's out there.
And it happens a lot. And people laugh about it. They're like, oh, that, you know, it's always the child stars who go crazy. But it's like, well, maybe they didn't have the support around them
them. That's true. That's what I mean about my buds. Like, we really supported each other enough that wouldn't have happened to us, because we wouldn't have let that happen to each other. I also, again, was 13. That's a different age. You can't do much with a 13-year-old. That, you know, you could take advantage of younger. And I understand that even at any age that can happen. But an 8 or 9-year-old physically can't defend themselves. Mm-hmm. The Sandlot boys can defend ourselves, you know. And
listen, no matter what age, the Sandlot boys.
No matter what age. And I have, you know, a really good family. My mom, my dad, my step-parents. So all that support, I did it on my own determinism. I never did anything I didn't want to. So I'm one of the lucky ones from that perspective, I would say. You know, I've had my own struggles and things that are challenges, but it hasn't been a charmed life. But I definitely, you know, have not fallen into some of those things.
You seem pretty down to earth from the... Somewhat. 30 minutes we've spent together. Yeah, exactly. To cap off our discussion on Sandlot, here on Courtside Club, we do like to take a halftime break.
Oh, great. I love it.
So for halftime,
okay,
I would love if you could recast the main boys of Sandlot.
All nine?
Let's pick five.
Okay. With?
Using only professional athletes.
Wow.
Do you want me to pull up I mean, you probably
does it have to be baseball players or
no, okay, any professional athlete. And this is also, this is your casting. So
I'm
trying
to think, like, who is the most Benny like?
Do you want to start with yourself? Maybe that would be easiest. Okay.
No, that's very difficult. Okay. I kind of feel like, is Aaron Judge as Benny crazy? Like,
this is your cast.
That feels right. I mean, doesn't it? Okay. Let's go.
One of the biggest superstars in the sport.
Right. I'm going to go. Yeah. Aaron Judge as Benny.
All right, starting off strong.
I'm going to go. So I'm just going to do me, small. I'm going to do four.
That works.
Me, Benny, small, Squints. How about that?
Perfect.
I'm going to say, who's Squints? Dustin Pedroia. Let's go Dustin Pedroia.
Okay.
Remember from the Red Sox?
No.
Okay.
But we'll take him.
I like that.
Wait, is he a current player?
No, he's old. But okay. He played second base and he was a little on the shorter side.
Okay.
I could go Jose Altuve, but like that sort of felt right for Squints too. I was thinking like one of the shorter guys. Because Squints is a
fair,
little guy.
Fair,
right?
Yeah, fair.
But he still hit dingers. So, yeah. I mean, you know.
We're going a very, like, I like that baseball. Your mind goes, like, completely logical on this. Yeah, like, well, we have to get the body.
I'm trying to think. I think Big Poppy feels like ham, you know? Like, we'll go okay. with best.
Fun.
Best really, or DH in the game, you know? We'll take him. And then who else did I say? I said, Smalls. Let's go Freddie Friedman. I feel like he's, okay. you know, Dodger. I like that. Just, you know. Just that it feels right. Something about that feels right.
So let's name them off one more time so we have
Big Poppy for ham, Freddie Friedman.
For Dodgers. Yourself.
Yeah, yeah, Big Poppy, the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
we went Dustin Pedroia for Squints or Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
We went
Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge for Benny. Mm-hmm. It just makes sense. And then who else did I say?
This is the one I already forget.
Oh, yeah, Freddie Friedman
yeah.
for Smalls. Yeah. That Perfect. Feel right?
I like it.
Yeah, like
this is your cast, so
I mean,
there
listen,
is really no I wrong answer. All day.
We could go NBA now. We could do anything, you know.
NBA.
How do we do this on NBA? I feel like Benny has to be like a goat. So like,
so we could you're go
Kobe.
Put,
we'll go.
Okay,
Kobe.
Yeah.
I mean MJ. You know,
a little too goat.
Yeah, a little too goat.
Okay.
We'll go so, Kobe.
So Kobe's Kobe Benny.
For Benny. We'll go who for Squints? Muggsy Bogues. Spud Webb.
Okay.
Spud Webb.
Wasn't he like 5'3"?
Muggsy was 5'3". I met Muggsy Bogues and he was the only NBA player shorter than me. Spud Webb was like my height.
Was he a true 5'3" or was he really like 5'1"?
Oh, no. I think he was a 5'3".
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know.
Did you cross him up one time?
No. Are you kidding me? That guy's
you got to try it. If there's one who's shorter, though, I'm just kidding.
Try. We were not on a basketball court.
We have the professor coming after this. So if you guys want to.
Oh, wow.
Go one-on-one.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's coming in after.
He's Squints. He feels like a Squints, doesn't
yeah.
he? No, I don't want to go one-on-one against the professor. Are you kidding me?
It would go viral on TikTok.
Oh, what's his name? The back pass. Jason Williams.
Williams.
There's Squints right there.
Okay. Also love Jason Williams.
Yeah.
Awesome guy.
I think
because we got Kobe
Shaq
and J. Will.
I think Shaq's him. It feels right. You know?
Super fun.
Yeah. And then we just need Smalls now. Smalls. Because you got to go someone that's like maybe a little goofy, but still really good. You know? Not that Freddie Friedman's
goofy. A little
goofy,
but still.
Not goofy, but like.
Yeah,
just kind
I know
of
what
like,
you mean. Like.
Just like, you know, not the loudmouth. Kind of shy. Kind of, you know, but then just hit stingers.
I think of like the Joker. Because he's got, but
yeah,
I think
that's kind of a good one.
It's because he's so unconventional, or like Tim Duncan. And these guys are like so big and tall.
I know,
but you know how
Tim Duncan's perfect for him.
Okay,
that Smalls right there. That's exactly. Right. We're not going by height. Listen, I just picked Shaq for me, so I don't think that matters.
Wait,
Tim Duncan is fully Smalls. Oh my God, that's a great one.
Okay, perfect.
I like going with the '90s, 2000s too.
Okay,
sick. That's my. I don't really. I'm not into basketball as much as I was.
So we have Shaq.
Shaq,
as
Kobe,
yourself.
Tim Duncan.
And J. Will.
And J. Will.
That's fun. That's like a fun squad.
That's a fun squad. Cool. I don't know who beats that squad. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Cool. Well, it's time for the second half.
Okay.
You talked about, you know, maybe your career not being all glamorous all the time. Was there ever a point where you were like, you know what, this Hollywood stuff, I've had enough.
Yeah. For
I
sure.
mean, you started so young. Burnout is real.
Yeah. I stopped for about a decade actively trying to do it. I got married at 26 and I think that's about, you know, when I kind of stopped. No, I mean, maybe for a few years I still kind of worked on my career, but from about 28 to 38, I had two kids in there and just focused on that. COVID was in there, which, you know, kind of yeah. derailed everything.
Halted all of our lives.
Yeah. And then when my about, you know, probably around the 30th anniversary, maybe a couple years before, I started having fun with social media, and it just kind of did its thing, and it became a successful avenue for me, which opened back up the acting world, and I've been doing it again. I think, you know, I knew that I would do it again. I just wanted to have a family and get out of the party scene, and, you know,
yeah,
because I could see where it was going, you know, so.
It's hard, not only for men, also I feel very hard for women when you start thinking about that. And I'm getting to the time now, like I'm into my 30s now, and I am thinking about that, like having kids and having a family, and how do you continue to do both? Because obviously, you know, raising kids, taking care of them, is that's a lot of your time if you want to, you know, do it properly and be there for them.
Yeah.
But, and with the travel, I'm imagining if you're, I've never shot a film, but when you're on a film set, that's months on end.
It's hard. I mean, I don't have any advice on how to do that, because my wife is extraordinarily supportive of me doing that. And if she were not, I wouldn't be able to do it, because I travel a lot. My kids are, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, my kids love me, but they are infatuated with their mother. So,
you picked a good one.
I picked a good one.
Yeah.
And I don't know how a couple both does it. I've seen the husband be the one that, you know, really takes care of the kids, or and the wife is working. I don't know both of them working in that field with that much travel is difficult, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but people do it too. I mean, you know, people do it. It's amazing. It's impressive. Well,
the world also loves your family content.
Yeah, so that's easy. I can sometimes do it at home. It's true.
It's funny because you're obviously checking out your social media pages and your TikTok. And even before we set up this interview, I had seen one of your videos like come through my For You page. And so was TikTok social media like a new kind of spark for you in this creative space?
Yeah, totally. I kind of, the thing that, you know, even more, I think, than even more than like struggles with the dark side of Hollywood, I think the thing that for me that I liked the least was about Hollywood is my fate being in other people's hands. I don't like that.
Fair.
And it's not to say like the Academy is creating best casted film, and because casting directors, good ones, work their ass off, you know, and they deserve that. But when you're an actor and, you know, you are dedicating your time to this, and again, your fate is in the hands of someone else and you have no control over it, that's tough. And I didn't like that. I was getting a little sick of that. And that's what I love about social media, is it's in my hands and I can do whatever I want. And it's opened up the door to now doing other things. I did a movie last year, one the year before. You know, I've done different things like that. I'm producing now. So that's what I like about social media, and just that world. I like to entertain that way. And I would say, yeah, it has opened things up. Jax, you know, have you heard of Jax, the recording artist? She's younger. She's amazing.
I don't think so.
Victoria's Secret. She did a song. She's huge on TikTok.
I probably have heard one of her audios.
Yeah, Jax writes songs and she does all these funny things and she'll sing and play the piano. She's got an amazing voice, but she's, you know, touring now and pretty successful. Had like top 10 songs and stuff. She had a song that had "You're Killing Me, Smalls" as a line in it. And her team reached out to me to be in the music video. And I had followed her on social media, so I said, I'll do it, but Jax has to teach me how to do this TikTok thing or I won't do it. And she loved it and was like, oh my God, I'm in. So she's been like my mentor.
That's actually an incredible story.
Yeah, and she got me started on social media. I have another Gen Z friend of mine that also helps me on all the things and, you know, make sure I'm not millennial cringe or any of that stuff. And so between the two of them, I can't do this on my own. Let's be honest.
So you got the recipe to the secret sauce.
And I'm not millennial either. I'm Gen X, let's be honest. So I'm two generations removed from social media.
You can't do the millennial pause.
Listen, Gen Xers don't do the millennial pause. I know. Came naturally. Hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Awful.
The zooming in. I was like watching this video. I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to be myself. You guys don't like it.
Yeah.
Move on with your day.
Yeah. So that was fun. She helped me kind of
cool, though,
get into the whole thing. And now it's taken on a life of its own.
And you are thinking about a podcast also, I heard?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I know how much work it is because during COVID, I kind of had a little fun and just with some friends did it. I only did like half a year, but it took so much time and, it was a lot of work. So I would only want to do it in this sort of scenario where you have a team of support and, really nice leather chairs and, the whole thing.
I wish I could claim this as my home.
I know, right? It's awesome. So I would do it. I would want to, I have a production company and we have a team over there and we do a lot of different shoots every month for different commercials and things like that. So I'm pretty busy behind the camera as well. I would love to do it depending on, who helped me.
What would the content be?
And that I'd have to, the
problem. I feel like you're pretty well-rounded there. You have a lot of interests. I know a lot of people tie you back to baseball.
Yeah.
But you have the merch line as well.
Yeah.
That pays homage to that. Yeah. But
I don't know because that's the thing is like, we were talking about, I don't know, these big successful podcasts very much take a stance, and they take a side and that's not sort of my philosophy. I like to be in the middle and see both sides' point of views because I not to get deep and into the problems that this world faces, but I do think the real problem is we are so polarized and we're so, this side or that side.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't agree. I think that everything, all the answers are in the middle. And you're pulling from both sides. So I wouldn't want, that's my another hesitation of mine to be so opinionated on one thing would scare me, because I don't feel that I am that way.
I think that there's a lane though for not that, because there is so many people too who are like tired of being bombarded from strong opinions from both sides. And I think, there are some things and I respect people who are passionate about certain things where they're not budging on it. Even myself, I feel like the biggest thing for me is just treating it. I was going there. Yeah, yeah. I was literally going there. But I'm vegan. I care a lot about animals.
Yeah.
And just when it comes to those kind of things, adoption, this and that. But everybody has those things that they're truly passionate about. But then you also see podcasts like the Kelce Brothers where they just basically...
It's true. Yeah.
Shoot crap for 2 hours and laugh and joke and it's wholesome and
I think I could do a podcast like that. Like I could just have fun
or just like have your kids on. Have you seen that guy on TikTok who does it with his daughter?
No. Really?
Literally the cutest page I think on the internet. It's him. They look like a surfer dad and a surfer daughter that they look like. I don't know if they actually surf. They're very cute. And he just records with his little 7-year-old daughter and she just says the darndest things because that's what kids do.
Yeah.
And they just chat like dad and daughter
chats.
That's
cute.
Yeah. Which I've seen the skits with your kids. So I don't know. Maybe you include them in some stuff too.
Okay. All right. Now we're on to something.
Yeah. If you need a creative session.
Thank you.
I'm here for you.
Will you produce the podcast?
Sure.
Let's go.
You just have to add me. What's your production company's name?
We're rebranding and changing it. So I can't say it because we haven't locked it down yet. But
okay.
We were Brookline was what we were being called. But
okay.
It gets too confused with Brooklyn. Brookline's a city in Massachusetts.
Yeah, and we're definitely not in New York.
No, but Brookline is in Massachusetts, which was where I'm from.
Okay.
But people don't know. Is it one word, two words? So we're changing it.
Got it. Well, here on Courtside, we also like to ask some buzzer beater questions.
Great.
Ready for it?
I'm ready.
What is your ideal food and drink combo while sitting courtside?
Oh, I was going to, okay, while sitting courtside.
Mm-hmm. Well, courtside, field side, ringside.
Okay, if I'm at a baseball game, a Bud Light and peanuts is unbelievable. Like just American that. Staple. It doesn't have to be Bud Light, but whatever the, you know, just some light beer. I can't do IPAs, anything like that. So a light beer and peanuts is my jam at a baseball game. I don't know. At a basketball game, I actually haven't gone to a lot of NBA games, but I feel like that's more of like a nachos and soda experience.
Okay.
Right? Like popcorn. I don't know.
Who's one person dead or alive that you would love to sit courtside with or go to a baseball game with?
God. Babe Ruth, a baseball game, right? Kobe Bryant, basketball.
Pretty sick.
Yeah.
And what is one event in history? It could be a sporting event or anything else you would have loved to have been courtside for?
Oh, for sure, the 2004 games 4, 5, 6, 7 of the ALCS, Boston against New York. That's when the only team ever to come back from 03 was the Red Sox against the Yankees. I would love to have watched those four games when they came back and then went on to win the World Series. I would love to have been courtside for Game 7, Lakers-Celtics, 2000, whatever, when Kobe had the rough first half, but then the nuts defense. I know I'm from Boston, so it's sacrilegious for me to be a Laker fan, but I'm a both fan. I love both Boston and LA sports, which is hard to say out loud, and don't let anyone in Boston hear me say this, but...
Okay.
I've lived here for 30 years.
We'll block this episode from Boston viewers.
But that would have been a really fun one to watch, just with the big three in Boston, with Kobe and Powell. It was just, that was insane.
On that, Patrick, let everybody know where they can find you, what you have in the works, what to look out for.
My social medias are all my name, at Patrick Renna. I've been producing a lot. Like I said, I have a movie that I did last year called You Gotta Believe that should be coming out soon. It's with Greg Kinnear and Luke Wilson, which was cool because I did X-Files with Luke Wilson years ago. So I got to see him again years later. And then another one called Boys of Summer, which randomly was the original title name of Sandlot.
Really?
Yeah. And I think they're not actually calling it Boys of Summer anymore because someone owns that. Anyway, I don't know the new title, but that's a movie that's coming out as well with Mason Times and Mel Gibson. So those two movies and
Do you have a Netflix show too? Did I hear that?
No, I'm in talks and in development with MLB right now on something.
Sick.
Yeah. So that it's sort of not at the stage. It's not like secret, but it's not at the stage where I think
we're ready to announce something.
Yeah. Like we're getting there. So, but that will be very exciting.
Yeah.
That'll be unscripted and, sort of, thing with MLB. That'll be a lot of fun.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, we will keep up on that before I let you go for the very last time.
Yes.
Would you mind making a TikTok together?
Sure.
Cool.
What do you want to do?
Shut up, idiot. Moron. Scab eater. Butt sniffer. Pus licker. Fart smeller. You eat dog crap for breakfast, geek. You mix your weeds with your mama's toe jam.
Yeah!
You bob for apples in the toilet, and you like it. You play ball like a girl.